In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The theme for all the scripture today is pretty clearly call. Being called by God and our own calling out to God. Jesus calls Peter, Andrew, James, and John, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." They drop their nets and follow. The prophet Jeremiah speaks the words of God given to him to call the people. "Return, O faithless children, I will heal your faithlessness." The people respond to the call, confessing, "Let us lie down in our shame and let our dishonor cover us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our ancestors, from our youth even to this day. And we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God." But the promise of mercy and blessing remains if they will but answer the call of God and give up their idols and the orgies on the mountains. And yes, that was in fact what was going on, no metaphor. Idolatry was not only rife with unfaithfulness, but immorality of every kind. It is for health and salvation that God calls them home. Next, our psalmist David speaks to the condition of the human heart and its calling out to God in the midst of our life situation. "Out of the depths have I called to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears consider well the voice of my supplication." And David adds then the words of trust. "I wait for the Lord. My soul waits for him. In his word is my hope." St. Paul deals with calling of another kind. Believing that the return of the Lord was soon, literally any day, what are the people to do in terms of their work life and their cultural status as circumcised or uncircumcised, slave or free? "Let each of you lead the life that the Lord has assigned to which God called you," Paul says. "Do not seek circumcision or to undo it," he tells them. "Know that the free are called to be slaves in Christ, and the slaves free in Christ." Paul does not condone slavery. "Do not become slaves of human masters," he says. The question is what to do when everyone is living, as it were, on the edge of their seat, waiting for Christ's return. Paul clearly believed when he wrote to the Corinthians that Jesus would return at any moment. Our collect for today also speaks the language of call. "Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior Jesus Christ," we prayed. And of course, Jesus' famous call of his first disciples, who drop their nets and follow. What is the theme of today's lessons trying to impart to us? I believe it's as simple as this. We are a people in need of calling. We are a people whose very heart calls out for response from the living God to tell us what to do, what to be, and how to come home. How to live in that safe place of communion with the one who loves us, the God who sends his Spirit into our hearts, crying out, "Abba, Father." Many times I've shared with you about my late maternal grandfather, who was a good pastor. He would often say to the church folks, "If it matters to you, it matters to God." Put another way, each sincere faith journey is known and blessed by God. "Even the hairs on your heads are all numbered," Jesus says. "You trace my journeys and my resting places and are acquainted with all my ways," says the psalmist. So God gets into the minutiae of our lives. Even as our children are each individuals, uniquely a delight to us, with individual natures, so it is with our Father in heaven. God knows what matters to us and responds to us as a wise parent knows each child as an individual. When our scripture today speaks to us about call, it is first and foremost a call then that knows us. Jesus does not call in general. He calls Simon Peter. He calls Andrew, James, and John. His mother is a woman named Mary. His disciples, Mary Magdalene and Nathaniel, Philip, and so on. Calling is not an abstraction. It's a unique human life that is called, and in being called, made. If I can return again to our depths, many of us find, I certainly do, that the calling from God can seem shrouded in mystery. I'm reminded how many years back there was a parish sale here of crafts that to support the people of Haiti. There was one item on the table that kept speaking to me. It was a figure of Jesus carved out of a completely black wood. It was a figure about 16 inches tall, and it showed Jesus with his hands in the Orans position, the position of a priest at Holy Communion. All the features were indistinct, but it was clearly the Lord. It showed forth the stunning power, the mystery of Christ, the mystery of God. In its very blackness, it called out, "Out of the depths have I called to thee, O Lord." Many times through the years, I've looked on that figure. In times of consolation and joy, it reminded me of when all seemed darkness. In times of darkness, it reminded me that God is always there, even as he was with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, or in the desert tempted by the devil, or when Judas leaves the table and the disciples wait with an impending sense of fear they know not why. Jesus is there. He has been there. He knows all about it. God's presence in the depths. Why our own calling out and the Lord's own calling are not always as clear as it was for Peter, Andrew, James, and John this day is itself a mystery. But this much we know. God is wise. All things are being brought to completion in Christ. All things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose, says St. Paul. All things. Even the things we cannot understand, even the times of calling from the depths, perhaps especially so then. The Christian life is fundamentally a journey of trust, not knowledge. God is too big for us. We cannot know all. Certainly Peter, Andrew, James, and John did not know all, or Mary Magdalene. But you know, they would do that journey again in a heartbeat. And we ourselves are the fruit of their trust, their discipleship. Sometimes I think we trip ourselves up with the language of discernment. Our gifts are evident to others in the body of Christ. If God wants to get our attention in some special way, he will. He knocked Paul right off his horse. If we say our prayers, come to God with what matters to us, and listen for what matters to God, we will find our calling in the concrete situations of our lives. We keep the commandments, we forgive, we show mercy, we extend ourselves to those in need, we welcome the stranger, we share the good news of Christ, we say our prayers. In a word, we live Christian life. And when we do, God makes things happen. We worry too much, I think, that God won't get the job done if we aren't spiritual geniuses. God made the world without us. He can keep it moving without us, all according to his will. And our lives are included in that. Jesus, Scripture tells us, is our great high priest. He knows what matters to us.
He knows what matters to God.
He offers on our behalf what he himself knew as one of us, and quite mysteriously indeed, Jesus calls into our depths to bring us out of our depths and into his own. We are carried by Christ, and we are conformed to Christ. We are hidden in Christ, and we are vulnerable in Christ. We are all these things and more by virtue of being called. As for fishing for people, well, the catch is pretty good for some 2,000 years later. A few fishermen, some peasant women. It's amazing what happens when God calls and we answer. Truly, it shall be so forever. We simply embrace the mystery of it all with trust and confident joy. You trace my journeys and my resting places, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even the hairs on your head are all numbered. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. The call is to trust. God doesn't need spiritual geniuses, just children who keep saying, Abba, Father. Amen.